The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, no Fred Fowler. Matt Jackson filling. What? 1 hour down, Matt. What's your feeling? How is the show going? Is it a disaster?
No. I'm having a good time, and you know,
we haven't talked about sports at all. I guess
I could care. The one thing that I find when you're no longer in the grind doing it on a day in, day out basis, I just don't pay attention to sports as much. Like I don't think I watched one Rockets game start to finish this year.
Oh, good for you. I'm sure you watched some of those playoff games start to finish.
You know what? Here's what I would do. And this is just me being busy with kids and doing whatever. I would look on my phone. If the game was close in the fourth quarter, I would turn it on.
That's what I do with playoff hockey. Like if it goes to overtime, I'm like, oh, now somebody's got to score a goal and the game's going to be over. I can watch that.
I don't have the time to invest. I think what we're going to find over the next 15 to 20 years is that sports leagues are going to try to find a way to fit all their games in a 2 to 2.5 hour window.
I would like that.
I like the one thing that I will say that soccer does right is that it is 2 hours and you are in and out. And I think baseball needs to do that. I think the NBA needs to do that. I think college football should really look at doing that. And the only reason why the games are as long as they are is because of commercials. Are you really distracted as a viewer if they split screen the commercials and continue the action?
No, I would be okay with that.
So why not just do that? Why should an Oklahoma State game start at 11 a.m. and end at 4? When it could just as easily, I would think you could get it in 3 hours tops. If the NFL can get it in 3 hours, then college football should be able to do the same. And I took, so Astros game last week, I took a group of high school kids to the Astros, who'd they play? Oakland.
Okay.
Wednesday, I think it was a Wednesday game. And so these are kids that are between 14 and 17 years of age.
I hope you didn't behave like Principal Rooney.
No, I did not. No.
I would say, I'll take you to the Astros game if.
we can have candy afterwards. No. They were all ready to go by the sixth inning.
Oh, really?
And these are kids that have a varying level of interest in baseball, but hey, we're going to go to the game. And I think it was dollar hot dog night. And they didn't care that they were winning, that I think Bregman hit two home runs that night. By the sixth inning, they were like, can we go? And I think that between the age of teenagers and early 30s, that baseball is probably about an hour to an hour and a half too long. And I saw one of the Yankees broadcasters, I think it was Jim Cott, brought up that he thought baseball needs to get rid of 9-inning games. He said 7 innings max, no more than 10 pitchers on a team. And let's speed this whole thing up. And anyone that cares about the record book, he said, doesn't really care about baseball anyway. He's like, who cares about records? Like, so what?
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever change that, though.
But what's the negative? You sell fewer hot dogs. You sell...
Dude, I'm with you. Baseball, it was my favorite sport when I was a kid, but I just... it's hard for me to sit down and watch a full game anymore. So I'm with you that I've adjusted my life too to where I want things faster. I like college basketball because I know it's not going to take that long.
2 hours. College basketball is perfect. College football, stopping the game for first down is stupid.
You got to stop that.
You get rid of that. Why couldn't you? The only thing that's going to change if you reduce the amount of time for the games is that the scores would be lower. But would you, as a fan, if Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, the final score was 21-17, as opposed to 42-38, is that really going to impact whether or not you thought it was a good game?
No.
I think in order to continue to attract fans and consumers, nobody's going to commit to that amount of time in front of a television or at the ballpark. I don't want to spend more than 2 hours doing anything, really.
How much of this, you watched a lot of the World Cup, right?
I did.
And all those games are about 2 hours long?
Yes.
And is that part of the appeal for you?
I mean, I soccer is probably, if not my favorite sport, it's in the top two or three. World Cup is just a special event. And it's an easy watch. It's a fun sport to bet on. And this particular event, this World Cup, I've been watching the World Cup since 86. This was by far the best World Cup that I've watched. All the games were played at a high level. There were tons of goals. And even with America not being involved, just being out and about in Houston, every bar out there was loaded to the gills with people that were going to an early lunch or taking off the day at work, watching the games, eating, drinking, having a good time. Went to a Brazil watch party. Absolutely crazy. The amount of passion that people went into it. Went over to Brian Ching's place downtown, watched the Brazil, Belgium, and I think France played Uruguay on particular day that I watched. But that fixed time period, you know, if you're married and you have kids and you say, honey, I need 2 hours to watch this, that's a lot easier for them to say, all right, than, hey, I need to watch the U of H Texas Tech game. I'm going to be gone all day. There's going to be a 5-hour tailgate, and then the game itself is going to take 4 hours. It's just, you're when you're in your 20s and you're not married and you're just worried about where you're going to get your next free beer, that's one thing. Once you get married and you have other priorities, you know, sometimes sports has to take a back seat. And I do think about all the people that watch sports now on their smartphones. They don't want to sit down and watch it in one place for a long period of time. They got other things to do. So I do think you're going to see leagues, maybe the colleges, maybe it'll be the other leagues, and they've got to find a way to get you in and out of the entertainment, or I think it's going to hurt their bottom line.
I'm with you. I still think soccer's biggest drawback is there's not enough goals scored, and sometimes the most frustrating thing for me is a game ending 0-0. If I invest 2 hours into a game and there's no winner, that pisses me off.
No, I totally get that. I mean, I get that. I feel that way, too, about watching a 0-0 game. You know, I can, just as somebody that is around it, I coach soccer, and I played soccer all my life growing up. So it's just something that I've always been into, but I'm never going to try to soccer assault somebody and force it down their throat. If they don't like it, they don't like it. You know, there's sports that are on that I don't follow religiously. I've never been able to get into hockey on television. When I'm in the arena, I love it.
Yeah.
But hockey on TV, it's too hard to follow the puck to me. At least to me, it is. And so it loses a little bit. But I don't begrudge anyone that it's not their, you know, isn't their favorite thing either.
You're different, though, because a lot of people, and I've noticed this because I'm not a soccer guy, especially during the World Cup time, when someone will ask, oh, you've been watching the World Cup? I say, no, I honestly haven't watched any of it. I haven't watched a single game. And they're like, dude, you don't know what you're missing out on. And then they go into this diatribe about why I should be watching soccer. And I was telling you, I feel like if I said that about baseball, oh, I don't watch baseball. I'm not a baseball fan. People go, oh, okay. I don't like the NBA. Oh, okay. But there's certain sports where If you say
there's
you don't like that sport.
There's smugness to it. There's definitely some smugness to – there can be some smugness to soccer fans. And it's in our country only, I think, because elsewhere around the world, obviously, it's one of, if not the most popular sport. And it definitely has grown. And I think the fact that the World Cup is coming back here in 2026 will do nothing but enhance it in our country. But – again, you know, I don't – there are some television shows that I don't want to watch, some movies that I have no interest in seeing. Same thing with sports. I like soccer. You don't like soccer. It's all right. It's what makes the world go around.
That's what I'm saying. I wish everybody had that feeling. All right. I want to talk to you about the soccer team you've been coaching. I've been wanting to talk to you about this for almost a year now, I think. I tried to get you on when this was happening.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. But now you're free from the restraints.
All.
Now
I can tell
the
tell all
story coming up on the other side. It's Matt Jackson in for Fred Fowler on the Blitz, ESPN 97.5. Got to tell you about My Computer Career. If you're stuck in a job that you're not happy with, you don't have to be. You can get out of there. You can start an IT career and be making more money than you're making now, happier than you are now. And, you know, it can change your whole life. My Computer Career is the place to get that done. It doesn't take long, guys, and it's not a lot of time period up front or long term. You go in 3 or 4 nights a week, and you're going to get everything you need to start your new career. It's more than a school, too. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. We're talking as little as 4 months you could change your life. If you don't have computer experience, they don't even care. Because starting an IT career, that's what they're helping people do. They understand you might not have any experience. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes start up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, Matt Jackson in for Fred, of former radio fame, Matt Jackson.
Former, yes.
Yeah, and glory. I mean, you got a steak dinner for being number one. I mean,
yeah.
What a life that must have been. Appreciate you sitting in for us today. One of the things I've been wanting to talk to you about for a while now, and I DM'd you on Twitter. First, I asked you if you knew any good Tia Carrere movies. And then I asked you if you would come on the show and talk about the ladies' soccer team that you were coaching.
Yes.
Because I really think that this story, and I guess it's been covered a little bit more now, but at the time I was like, I can't believe this isn't like on SportsCenter. This is an incredible story. And you know, I don't care anything about soccer or women's sports for that matter, so this should be completely uninteresting to me. But I guess I'll go ahead and let you tell the actual story, but what was the school you were working at?
Marshall High School.
Marshall High School,
which is over in Missouri City, and I was there for 2 years, and they basically didn't really have anyone to coach the girls' soccer team. And as best as anyone can tell, the school's been open since 2001, and to anyone's knowledge, they don't believe they couldn't find anyone that had proof that they had ever won a game.
Ever.
Ever.
In the history of the program.
Correct.
And
so,
how long has the school been open?
17 years.
That is unbelievable. I mean, that is... my dad went to high school in Beeville, Texas. And he was on varsity his freshman year of high school football. And freshman year through senior year, they did not win a single football game. And I thought that was like just it's unimaginable that you could go 4 years and not schedule some other cupcake that you know you could beat and you just happen to pull one off. zero wins in his high school football career. 17 years is, I mean.
Here's what you have to understand. Number one, in our country, soccer is a sport for the rich.
You don't, is it?
Oh, yes.
Why?
Because it costs you thousands of dollars to play recreational club soccer.
Really?
My nephew is, boy, I hope I don't get, I think he's 7 years old. I might be wrong about that. He might be older than that. I apologize, Noah, if you're listening.
I hope your seven-year-old nephew's not listening to this show.
Yeah, no, good point.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't ask me who Lisa Loeb is later. He plays club soccer, and I believe that my sister is paying $5,000 a year for 8-year-old soccer.
Okay.
It is not atypical for, and select baseball is the same way.
Yeah, I pay over $5,000 a year. But
so soccer is the same way. So once you get to the high school level, what you have is you have suburban, largely, I would say predominantly Caucasian kids, but almost all kids that come from financial means that have played year after year after year after year after year of club soccer, and they're going against kids that are from lesser socioeconomic backgrounds that have either never played the sport before or have never really played an organized sport before, because there just is not access from a financial standpoint. And so where I was coaching, the vast majority of my girls had never played organized sports. Some of them were using the team as a means to get fit, which was great. Almost all of them were using it as a means of motivation to get to graduation, which was, you know, was the most important thing. And that was the most important thing about this team is, all right, how can we find a way to keep these girls motivated so that they graduate? Because, the school that where I taught, it was not one of the highest rated schools in the state by any means.
So is this not a it's not a wealthy community?
I want to say at least 75% of the kids were on free or reduced lunch.
Oh wow!
So it was a socioeconomically challenged school, and it was an eye opening experience in a number of ways. I 100% loved the coaching experience. I love coaching my girls. I loved that aspect of it. The teaching side of things at the school was just like, I would bang my head against the wall when I would come home sometimes, just like,
because
what am
of the
I
students
doing?
Or because of the curriculum that you were supposed to present?
No, it had everything to do with a great deal of, there was very little motivation for students to learn. They're just, and I'm sure a lot of that comes from home. And the other thing was that in 2 years, I must have heard the N-word 25,000 times.
Okay.
And after a while, you're just like, guys, come on. I was like, this is not how people talk in the real world.
Right.
And I don't care that this is how you talk with your parents, if this is how your parents talk to you, but I just couldn't get it. I didn't understand why every other word that came out of their mouth started with the letter F or the letter N. I mean, it really was eye-opening. I mean, there were some really, really good kids that really wanted to learn, really wanted to.
What were you teaching?
I was teaching world history. So I was mostly teaching sophomores.
Okay.
And I had a lot of really good students, but there were a lot of kids that if there was a law that said they didn't have to go to school, they would not have been at school.
Right.
But
you would think like world history, it's not like it's art. I mean, this is a class that's like you're going to have to pass to graduate, right?
Correct.
So you would think that should be motivation enough.
You would think, but that's just not the reality in a lot of schools. And I wouldn't say that the school I was at was necessarily unique. I think a lot of schools in Houston have that that challenge. But from the coaching standpoint, I was basically working from from the very beginning. I was having to teach basic fundamentals of running. Like, how do you run? Like, what form to get from point A to point B the fastest possible? How do you dribble a ball? How do you shoot a ball? And meanwhile, we're playing against some of the top teams in the area at the 5A level. You know, Elkins High School, who's always has one of the best teams out there. Santa Fe High School always has a great girls program. So we were up against it. And
are those schools more affluent? Like,
every school in our district, in our playing district, with the exception of Willow Ridge, which is kind of in the same boat as Marshall, every one of those schools had club programs that fed players into their high school program. So like Manville, Shadow Creek, Texas City, a lot of really strong clubs are around there.
Okay.
So we're going up against players that have a lot more experience, and that just goes a long way. So these girls had to have some courage to know that they're going to go out there and that they're probably going to be outgunned, because we were getting our heads handed to us. I mean, my first year, we lost every game, and most of them were not close. And yet, we improved by 88 goals from the previous season. So we were getting our ass kicked.
And you still scored 88 more goals?
But, well, we allowed 88 fewer goals from the opposition. My first year, we only scored, I think, twice.
Oh, boy.
In 16 games.
What?
Yeah, we scored twice and we allowed, I don't know, 80 something goals.
Wow. That's got to be so frustrating.
Oh, it was. It was frustrating it wasn't like the girls never quit. They really didn't. It didn't matter. I always told them no matter what the score was, I'd always say, "Hey, 0-0. Let's go. 0-0. Let's go." And
you're like, no, they just ran out of digits. So it's really 10-0, but you can't.
These girls were so tough. They loved playing. They gave it everything they had. I was definitely proud to be their coach. And like at the end of year banquet in the district, despite the fact that we were getting killed, I got votes for coach of the year, because before I got there, they were losing like every game 25-0. Losing. And we came back this year.
Well, hold it right there. Well, I want to finish this conversation. I've got some more questions about it, but we got to hit a break. Matt Jackson is in for Fred Fowler today. He's telling the story of Marshall High School's girls soccer team, which has never won a game in the history of their existence, which I find so fascinating. But we'll finish that up, and we'll get into some sports and stuff here on the other side, too. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Presented by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
Different prices. All right. Sorry. I didn't know you turned my mic on. We were talking about hookers. different prices, different strokes for different folks. Matt Jackson in for Fred Fowler. Fred in the Great White North, which is no shock knowing that Fred is extremely racist. He decided to spend some time up there. We've been talking about the Marshall High School ladies football team, or ladies soccer team, I guess, which has in 17 years not won a game. And where we left you was that you'd coached 2 years there, right?
2 years. This is my second year and unfortunately my last year.
Okay. So your second year, your first year, you guys improved greatly from the year before, right?
Yes. We're 88 goal improvement.
But you only scored 2 goals.
Correct.
Fast forward to year two. Were you still trending up?
Despite
not winning a game?
We were much better this year. We scored a lot more goals. I have one girl that I would put this girl, from an athleticism standpoint, I would put her against any high school athlete in the state of Texas.
She
had never played soccer before. She's a track athlete. She plays volleyball. She played basketball for the first time this year. But just an incredible physical specimen. She's about 5'11", can really run. And she didn't know how to kick a soccer ball, but she physically intimidated the hell out of her opposition. And, you know, she could run, and occasionally her foot would connect with a ball. And we didn't have her for every game this year, but we had her for some games. And when we had her on the field, you know, we were somewhat threatening on the offensive side.
You say we didn't have her for some games. Grade-related stuff?
No. Honor student, gets all A's, but she was also playing basketball.
Oh, okay. And that's her priority sport?
Not really. She was terrible at basketball as opposed to soccer. Her best sport was probably track or tennis. She has a twin sister. They basically could have been the Williams sisters. They were that good, but they would literally fight each other on the tennis court. They won. One of the sisters won the district title in tennis this year, and I think as freshmen they won the doubles title or something like this. But they just couldn't get along on the court. We didn't have enough raw talent. We had unbelievable effort, great effort. And the girls played their guts out. We were just going up against teams that were just better than us, had more talent. We actually got into a couple shootouts this year, lost them. So technically we got a couple of ties.
I remember it because after we had talked and you were about to start coaching your second year, the first game you guys played that season, you barely lost. I think it was like,
yeah, we lost 1-0 our first game. Yeah.
And it was like, oh man, maybe this is the year that you're going to break. And I guess it went downhill from there.
Well, we didn't have a bad season. We finished last, and we lost every game, but
I mean, that's by definition, that's a pretty bad season.
I guess so.
If the Astros did that, you would say that was a really bad season.
Well, sure. But I, like, I didn't feel that way. I could go home and say, yeah, we lost 5-0 to Manville, but I didn't feel bad about the way we played. I didn't think the girls had quit on me, and sometimes you know in your heart how well that you've done and how well a team has performed, and I felt good about it. We didn't win a game. We came in last. We scored, I think, 7 goals this year, which was more than the 2 we had previously. And like I said, the girls are great. And the best thing is, every girl that I had in 2 years that were seniors, they all graduated, which was the most important thing to me anyway.
I think you sound like Hugh Jackson. Like we lost every game.
Except for I don't have a win. I am the Hugh Jackson of high school soccer.
You told me something that I find amazing. I said because you were talking about the N word getting thrown around. I asked you off the air how many white kids are at that school. You said there's none.
There might be one or two. Very few.
That's unbelievable.
It's 75% African American, 25% Hispanic.
That's it. I didn't even know that schools like that existed.
HISD's, a lot of schools were like that.
Wow. Yeah, I must live in some bubble world. John, where'd you go to high school? In Katy, right?
Well, I went to Cy Falls for my freshman year, and then which I grew up in the Cy Fair District, which was primarily all minorities.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, or the school that I went to, middle school and elementary school I went to. And then in high school, my dad did pretty well for himself, and so we moved out to Katy.
And what high school did you go to there?
Cinco Ranch.
Oh, it's plenty of white people there, huh?
Oh yeah, it's the opposite. I was like the only Asian there.
Oh really?
Yeah.
So now that you left that school,
yeah, because you said I thought I was coming back. I really did. I assumed I was coming back, And then I got a call out of nowhere from a principal at Foster High School in Richmond. Just so happens that I'm moving out there. So I just thought.
Well, it's got to be a tough, like, to make the call on, okay, my teaching life here is miserable, but I love this coaching job.
Oh, yeah.
To switch into where, like, I'd like to have a more comfortable, you know, teaching atmosphere.
I love to coach, but I would say that the second year, the teaching was pretty awful. It was very, 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 very difficult.
Did you have to, like, did you let the girls on your team know that you weren't coming back?
I did. So I've been doing summer workouts with them because, like I said, I thought I was coming back. And I have a few that would come out to the workouts. And I told them, I said, hey, this just came up. I'm leaving to go to this other school. It's got nothing to do with you. You know, I love you girls. Y'all have done an awesome job for me. But, you know, this is just something I got to do for my own mental health because it is very, very difficult to come to work every day when you just don't know if you're having any impact whatsoever on or if you're just wasting your time. And sometimes that's the way it felt like. And every student needs a teacher. There's no doubt about
right.
it. I feel like I have a pretty high threshold of patience. But I also felt like if I had a third year like my second year, that, you know, it wasn't going to be something that I was going to enjoy. If my only job was coaching soccer and coaching those girls, I would have stayed there forever. Yeah. But every school's got its own issues. There's no perfect school. If that was the case, everybody'd be graduating magna cum laude and going, getting into the college of their choice and everything be hunky dory in the United States. But look, the public school system, there's a lot of challenges there. So I know that the school that I'm going to will have challenges as well. But I think it's going to be a more what I expect to be a more typical high school experience, because it is what I view it as what a Houston school should look like in terms of it's like a 30-30-30-10 split. I think it's like 30% African-American, 30% Hispanic, 30% white,
yeah.
10% Asian. More of what you would expect Houston to look
right.
like. So,
wow. I mean, I would think that the toughest part is that you're not going to get to be around for that first win. Because, like, that's something that you put 2 years of effort into that. And, you know, like you said, basically teaching kids to play soccer, teaching kids how to run. Like, it would have been really fulfilling to have that.
Yeah, and for my soon-to-be seniors especially, one of the other issues that I was going to have is that I didn't think there was going to be a team after next year. There just are not – we just don't get girls to come out for soccer. The middle school that feeds into the high school, they had to play every game this year 8 versus 11.
They only had 8 kids on the team?
A combined 7th and 8th grade team only had eight students.
And it's a 5A or 6A school?
Well, middle schools, they don't really do that way.
Right, but the
high school is a 5A school, although our high school is the smallest, one of the smallest 5A schools out there. Like, we barely had 1,100 students, and we're playing, you know, Manville and Shadow Creek that are close to 2,000, and Elkins is moving up to 6A next year. So we played a lot of much larger schools. So I think this year there would be about maybe 10 seniors on the team. And I don't even know how, unless they rezone students, I wasn't even sure there was going to be a team beyond the next year.
Wow.
I mean, and the teachers and the coaches that are at the school, I mean, they work their butts off. I mean, Marshall won the state track title for the third time in 4 years. This past year, the football team almost always makes a deep run. We have a great choir and fine arts program, but the day-to-day grind teaching at that school was extremely challenging. And, sometimes you just bang your head against the wall.
All right. Well, I appreciate the story. I've been wanting to talk to you about that for a while. The school you're going to now, do you expect to be the soccer coach there again?
I will coach soccer. I'm going to be coaching, I'm going to be coaching the guys' soccer, but I am going to be kind of the first assistant. There are definitely more qualified coaches out there than somebody who's won 0 games.
Yeah, your resume has 0 wins on it. That's
so
not right.
I am I'm very happy to sit second chair and learn from somebody else that's much better at it than I am. And you know, hopefully, you know, really, I don't really care if I'm a head coach or an assistant coach. I like teaching the game. And I do enjoy teaching students. So I expect it to be a new challenge.
Do you expect to get a win this year?
I would think so.
Okay. Yeah, I do too. And then you'll be way less of an interesting story to me, honestly. All right. We'll be right back. Wrap up hour number two of the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
What is this music? John.
Mason Air? Manson Air.
Well, who picked this song?
Oh, I did.
Why?
I don't know. It started off strong, but
this
a little
is horrible. This is bringing me down. My goodness, you thought that was good for the show, huh?
Well, I listened to the first couple seconds of it, and then it kind of fizzled out.
Kind of sounded like Dido.
Yeah, that's a rough listen.
That's my bad.
Lamont says, I'm normally solid on interviews. I'm one of the best interviewers, but teaching interviews is trash. So interviewing people about teaching, not ideal. Sorry, Lamont. I'll try to do better next time. But that should be my last teaching interview. It was supposed to be a soccer interview, but then it took a turn. But I do love that team never – I mean, that's sad, but I do love that there's a team out there that's never won a game in their history. I just find that so fascinating.
Well, it's like, you know, that you'll find teams like that in every sport. Lee High School, I remember an infamous story in the Chronicle 15, 20 years ago before I think they canceled the program. The girls basketball program, it's not even called Lee High School anymore because of the whole Confederacy thing.
Right.
What do they call it now? I don't remember.
I have no idea. I don't even know where Lee High
School is. You know
what
I'm talking about, though, right? Well, they had a girls basketball team that used to lose every game, like 100-11 and things like that. Northbrook High School in football, like they always are – have a rough time and are now they may win a game or two, but yeah, I guess I have that badge of courage to say, yeah, I've got the big O. So I got that going for me.
Good for you.
I don't think the Hall of Fame will be calling names.
Maybe not. Maybe not. The Home Run Derby is tonight. And I think the Home Run Derby might be more interesting than the actual game. It's the only Major League Baseball, for one thing, the All-Star game is better than the Pro Bowl or the NBA All-Star game. Like, it's actually somewhat interesting. But this Home Run Derby is such a cool thing. And I've seen now multiple times, and it's people have always talked about it like it's some kind of a myth that guys who do well in the Home Run Derby, it ruins their season. But we legitimately saw Aaron Judge go from a guy that was going to win the MVP last year to... I mean, still to a guy who finished second in the MVP.
Right.
But the month, maybe the 6 weeks after the Home Run Derby for him were just a nightmare. Do you buy into that? Do you think that there's some sort of an effect?
I don't know how their batting practice changes for when they're trying to, you know, jack them and when they're not. But that's a good example. There was another one. I remember that the All-Star game in Colorado. I want to say it was Tino Martinez did something, hit like 28 in the first round or some insane amount, and then was not heard from again in the second half of the season. It doesn't really make sense unless it's overly fatiguing to them. But I would kind of like to see additional events. Because I do think that the Home Run Derby tends to drag on. Doesn't seem like it should be a two-hour event to me.
Yeah.
I'd like to see maybe like a relay event where you're trying to throw people out of the plate. I don't know if they're worried about injuries or anything like that. But because I think somebody trying to hose somebody from right field can be just as exciting as
yeah.
How far can I crush the ball? I used to enjoy the MTV Rock and Jock back when that first started. Back in the, I would think the early 90s. It seemed like they got some pretty good celebrities plus some recently retired major league players to play in it, and they had all sorts of like crazy stuff going on. Like if you hit it into a certain area, it was a 8-run home run, or
right.
You know, that type. Dan Cortez, I think, was the
I don't know.
That was back when he was.
I don't even know what comes on MTV anymore.
It's definitely not music.
I think it's like a Teen Mom. Teen Mom 2 is all that comes on MTV. It's like a constant marathon.
Now, I will say there was a period there, though, where I was watching some really bad guilty pleasure stuff on MTV. I watched the show Jay Cutler's wife, Laguna Beach.
What is her name?
Kristen Cavalier.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever watch that show?
No.
Oh, my God. There was some heat on that show.
No. Yeah, I never watched it.
She was on that show. I want to say one of the Kardashians was on that show. There were a couple other just total smoke shows on that show. And then that spun off onto the one with, the really annoying married couple, Spencer Pratt and... what was the wife's name? She was the roommate. John, you know the show I'm talking about? I think it was called The Hills.
Yeah, I needed to look up the names.
Heidi.
Yes. She was kind of hot.
Heidi Montag.
She was kind of hot. But that is how that Kristen Cavalieri, and she now has her own, another reality show that Jay Cutler's on. That's how she became famous, was on that MTV show. On Laguna Beach. And
I never watched a single episode of that.
And then they manufactured it so she would show up on this Hill show so it would become popular. And then she had one really bad B-movie where she was a volleyball player, I think. It was called, I want to say like Son of a Beach or something like that.
Son of the Beach was a Howard Stern produced show back in the day. It was like a lifeguard show.
But yeah, I would. MTV 15 years ago had some pretty good non music related show. Like, surely you watched Beavis and Butthead.
Oh yeah, yeah, I liked that. I liked
Death Match. Celebrity Death Match was pretty good.
I liked that show. Yeah, anything that had their claymation or animation was pretty good. But yeah, that's like the last time.
Headbangers Ball, does that predate you?
No, that doesn't predate me. That's like around the time, that was like the golden age of MTV before it turned into Carson Daly, like showing videos all day in the Real World. And then that was the Real World versus Road Rule. That's all they did from that day on.
I would love to see a documentary on MTV Spring Break at some point, back when it was legit in the mid to late 80s. Man, there are some crazy, crazy stories about the stuff that went on there with... Kari Wuerr, remember her from Remote Control? And that's where Carmen Electra got her start. Well, right?
What was that show, the dating show that had Jenny McCarthy on it? Singled Out.
Singled Out.
That was a good show. I loved that show.
You know that TRL is back on MTV.
I don't want to watch it. I don't like that.
I probably couldn't tell you one song that comes on TRL now either. Don't ask me for any current music takes. I have none.
On the other side, I'm going to throw you some odds on the Home Run Derby. See if you think there's any value. The local hero, the biggest underdog on the board. So if you're looking for a rooting interest tonight, get 10-1 on your money on Alex Bregman. We'll break down the rest of it on the other side. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.